Memphis. Nothing but Memphis. Everywhere we go, it's Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee. The beautiful land in the world.
And I'm thankful for this guy who tweeted and said, I don't have that fire in my eyes no more. That game right there was for him. That's what I do. I prove people wrong each and every night, and that's for him right there.
Hi, this is Tom Izzo at Michigan State, and you're listening to Grizz 901.
Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to another Grizz 901 postgame show, the number one Memphis Grizzlies postgame show in all the land, and it's not close. Tonight, the Grizzlies take care of business at the Grindhouse. I know all of you are going to be filing in that are not at the game, and then you'll be filing in very shortly if you went to the game. And so welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Daniel Greer. Nate will be joining me very shortly. We are presented by Bluff City Media, and we have a great show, as we always do, tonight. It's all about the game recap. We're going to talk a little bit about Zaire. Zaire is kind of coming back from the grave. He was dead. Now he's alive. Is he going to continue? We're going to answer some of those questions. We're going to talk a little bit about Jaren as well in that game recap. The second segment, we're going to hit on Grizz trivia. I have a very, very smart Grizz trivia tonight. Then we're also going to follow that with up some on the radar questions. So some guys we're looking at. I've been looking at different teams. Tonight, we're going to kind of look around, but also look within our team. And so we're going to look at some of the players on our team. The last thing we're going to do is have two game previews for you. And the reason is no show Sunday. There's so much playoff football going. Nate and I are going to take the day off. It is a early afternoon game. So you know what? Instead of just making everybody hang out with us, we're going to be hanging out with you watching some football. But let's go ahead and get into the show. Nate, here we go. Yo. What up, man?
That's as much wiggle as I got tonight. I'm just glad I made it on camera.
No wiggle.
My back is not wiggling tonight.
Why Ooh. Not, man? What's going on?
Oh, man, I was throwing around too much weight. Oh, what's ironic is I was literally just jumping. The weight had been thrown. I was just jumping. But the back's out.
Okay.
Probably because I pulled a Zaire, trying to carry the team on my back. Hey, should Zach Kleiman be on the phone right now doing a little 20 whatever year that was draft swap? Like, hey guys, Zaire just cooked you. I mean, we're willing to give you Zaire for Franz and a first round or second round pick. Should that be a phone call being made right now?
I wish. I hope that is a phone call, because if it is,
hey,
I'll give you whatever you want.
Listen, credit where credit's due. That man played well tonight. Really well tonight.
Yeah. Well, the Funky Bunch comes back. They are kind of keep on showing up. And so I will say, LOL, nope. Jones, the Funky Bunch, man. I love
hey,
it, man.
Daniel.
I love
Shout it. Shout out to Daniel. He was here last time, too.
Yep. I'm trying to find him real quick. There he is. I knew it was there before there. But Daniel Curl, Magic lost to Trip and the Funky Bunch. A lot of people were saying it was Gidi and the Juniors. I love that too. And so it was good as always. But let's go ahead and get into the show. And the first thing I want to do, and no, it's not off the top rope. I want to talk about Streetcars of Memphis, the sponsor of the comment section. Our one and our favorite. I want to get into the comment section because, one, y'all guys are rolling already, and I don't want to miss too much. And I'm going to go back and give you a little bit of on the top or off the top rope, as we'll say. Speaking of, the Royal Rumble is Saturday. That's one of my favorite events ever. If you are a wrestling fan, that's one of my favorite events. I don't know why. It makes me feel like a kid again. But Streetcars of Memphis, if you have any modification needs, lift kits, wheels, tires, whatever it might be, go ahead and reach out to them, let them know. But one thing you can do, if you don't need the modifications, go ahead and get an oil change. For this month, you can use the code GRIZZ901, and you can get a $55 oil change, regular. If you want synthetic, you can get $65, but that is an oil change at cost. Huge savings taking place in streetcars in Memphis, whether it is for modifications or an oil change. Go ahead and check them out online, 901-SCM, or call 901-323-3332. Go ahead and schedule it all today. Let's go ahead and get into some of these real fast. All right, I want to get into a home win from Big Die. Dude, I'm telling you, I was shocked that they were that number was as big as it was for the Magic because the Grizzlies have been playing well. But what made me nervous is the fact that we were playing home. The home stuff kills me as always. But looking through any of these, John 17, you can't mess with us. Vince Williams, even Goon. Goon loves him some Vince Williams. I love that man. Goon is having some issues over here because Alan wants to know, who was the leading scorer?
Goon already has like two or three responses just templated out for that. So
everybody, even Kenny.
I can't hear soon.
What you got, Goon?
Oh, man. But yeah, it was that was a fun game, man. You know, it was honestly Zaire. I was making fun of him in the first half because he was playing fine. But he, I'm telling you, every time he hit a shot in the first half, he took the next shot and missed it every single time. And then lo and behold, in the second half, he actually like got cooking. He's playing really well, like really confident. And I mean, we've seen that from Zaire a handful of times, right? Like he gets feeling confident. He gets his teammates involved. He starts doing a lot of really good things. The problem is next game, he might be one of the worst basketball players you've ever seen. So listen, if they want to do a little one-for-one him, Wendell, make sure Wendell never makes it back to Orlando, I wouldn't mind it.
Big fan of that. As Rusty's saying, Zaire had a great Magic tryout tonight. You can be an Orlando Magic. It's one little phone call. But let's go ahead and get into it. So we're going through a lot of these. And I will say that as Keith's saying, he's a zombie, dude. He's undead.
That's classic. That's good.
Zaire is it. One thing I do want to get back to, this is my favorite, from my guy, King Meeks. I'm invited to the family cookout. I think it's me. I don't know who else, but I think it's me. I get to be invited.
It's a we. He invited me too. It's okay. You see what you want to see. Sorry, you can't read that many that fast. I'm just glad you can read now at all, so I don't have to pull all these comments up for you. So that's the one. Yo, when's Jaren Jackson Jr. going to get a whistle, by the way? Like, good God, Courtney Kirkland. Come on, man. Like, Paolo Banchero, he has 11 free throws. Paolo does, but Jaren has 4. Dude, at some point, I thought the DPOY was going to get him a whistle. But my God, the dude still can't get a whistle. I mean, I know he missed, like, 3 gimmies at the rim on one of those last possessions. He also got fouled all 3 times he shot it. It's like, dude, it's insanity. And it drives me insane because it's like, there's no excuse for it other than they just – it's like he has his reputation somehow even on the offensive end, and they won't call it. But he's getting smacked around. Yeah. Blow the whistle. If Anthony Davis can get that whistle, Jaren can get that whistle. Like, what are we talking about at this point?
Yeah, no, I agree. They play great. And so one thing I do want to bring up real quick, before I don't want to get too far past this because I want to come back to it. Can I just have a 30-second moment? This comment from Daniel, this is why I enjoy this show. I know it's why you enjoy this show as well. This is why I enjoy it. Dude, been able to live with y'all since the family is out of town. Like, just hanging out, just being friends. I promise you, and I know we've had this conversation, I had this conversation with my wife today, that I really enjoy this show mainly. It's because of the what I'm seeing over here in this section for me, I know it's that way for y'all, but for me, it's over on this side. Like, I love the comments so much that I see the same people over and over and over again. You are what makes the show. It's like, literally, I am the guy who steers the ship. Nate is the talent. He's the one that makes everybody laugh. Everybody likes Nate. I set him up to look good. He looks good in himself. Somehow he looks like John Martin still, but then the comments is what drives us each and every show. I promise you, we're trying to be here for 82. We're not going to be here for 82. We've already said that. We're doing our darndest.
My back hurts quite literally. Yeah.
But yeah, so thank you for Daniel for that. But I want to say, just because I already said in the opening, we are going to be off Sunday just for the fact of it's playoff football and it's an early game with the Pacers. And so nobody really wants to be here with that. So, but let's go ahead and get back to it, because all we do is win, as Grizz Girl is saying. I don't know what's going on. And Keith, I want to talk about Jitty a little bit later, because I want to ask you the question about Jitty, because he's playing so well. Is there thoughts of possibly keeping him? And so, all right, off the top rope, your initial thoughts, how the game went. Obviously, Jaren played well. The rest of the team has kind of played well around him. But what are you making sense of this team really coming together and playing the good basketball they're playing?
No making sense of it, dude. They just have dogs. They just got dogs. That's what it is, man. It really, that's the only way to do it. It's the only way to explain it. It's like you got Vince Williams, who we keep saying is just a crazy person, and it pans out for him. Jaren has been playing awesome. And then you got a bunch of guys that just fill in and do something, right? Like Jitty. It's the same thing with Jitty every game. Yeah. He just fills in, he gets rebounds, and he plays good defense, and he does all the little things, and it's helpful. Tillman, who I thought had one of his rougher nights, still played well and continues to do. I mean, the guys you actually expect something from, like Santi, are the ones that are just crushing you out there, right? The Santi minutes right now, the Santi and Jaren minutes, I just – gross, man. I would love to see Jaren and X out there instead, but – And there's a lot of rotation reasons to make sure X gets those non-Jaren minutes, just as far as having some sort of rim presence goes and some sort of big presence goes. But I mean, the Santi minutes with Jaren continue to be killer. But yeah, they just keep finding ways to put it together. The ball moves around. They play with effort and heart and energy and defense every night. Like, it's all on the defensive end, man. They're still not lighting it up and putting up 120 or something like that, hardly ever. Like, they just continue to play hard-nosed defense. So, they just keep finding a way, man. I mean, it's seriously, it's sort of insane. I just would not have expected it. Because I promised until the end of January, and I intend to keep my promise. So, honestly, enjoy it, because this might be the last game. The wife wraps up the boards next week, and so after that, more household things will be accomplished. So,
Kip wants to know, why does Nate still have these Christmas decorations up?
Also, since when do we hate Christmas? God, there's just so many people that just hate joy and smiles. Listen, I threw my back out. I can't even stand up that high. Leave me alone. Listen, the wreath is getting pretty raggedy, though.
Yeah. Hey, as David is saying, I want to bring this up a little bit later. We really have to give Vince a nickname. All right, I know that we were trying to get close to the Volkswagen thing with the bug, and I know some people kind of are sticking with the bug. I think the bug's fine. I like the bug. I think we can get a little bit more creative. And the reason I say that is because, dude, he's a little crazy. I like the Vinsane. The only problem with that is you kind of do need the membrane nickname, right? Vinsane and the membrane. But I do think that we could figure out something. So, Venice the Menace. Dude, I like Venice the Menace. That's pretty good.
I like all these. All these are good.
Vince the Slick.
Bro, man.
The Prince. like and it's Kenny saying, get them likes up. That's bro, man. Bro, man. He looks like a bro, man. For sure.
Oh, no. Like, listen, Ben Sanity would be a good one. There's a lot of good ones. Mr. Vince Relevant. Brevin was saying it. Listen, I don't think it matters. I think you could call him Brian and he'd just smile at you.
And he'd talk straight-ish to you.
Yeah. Who cares? As long as he keeps playing. Listen, maybe if we give him a nickname, the juju goes down a little bit. Let's keep him nicknameless.
Bruman is so good.
I love that. So, all right, let's talk some rotation stuff tonight. Because I know a lot of people are going to be asking about Gigi. That's the big one for tonight. So I'm going to go – we're going to do a little role reversal. I want to know what you think about GG only getting 11 minutes tonight, because I think we're probably going to think the same thing.
Yeah, so my thoughts on GG is the simple fact that he's 19 years old. And we had this in one of our group chats that I'm in. We saw him kind of come up through the scoring table in the first half, and he was coming in for Luke Kennard. He was. And then Luke responds with two straight bangers from downtown. And just at that point, TJ's like, all right, bro, come on. Like, we can't let you just go in the game right now. And so, as I was saying, Taylor got some feel to the game. But the problem is the robot got some feel. We're going to have to let him work around the edges a little bit. But, man, it was a it's a game that you have to ride Zaire, because in the second half, he actually kept responding. And GG was fine, but in a sense like this, you have to go with one or the other, in my opinion. Is you got to go with one of these role players that's playing better than the other. Tonight it was Zaire's night. You kind of let GG play off of him in a sense, and it's going to look like this sometimes, and that's perfectly fine. But I know people are going to go crazy because GG is awesome, but you have to understand it's a big roller coaster with GG, because there will be some games where he doesn't look good, some games he does. And it's not all Zaire's fault.
Well, and I think, honestly, if Zaire doesn't have it like he has it tonight and he looks like he has looked, you're going to see more GG minutes. But the truth was, GG was just – he didn't look bad tonight, in my opinion. It was just slow. He was a half step behind most of the game, right? And so when you combine that with the fact that Z got it really going, it's like, hey, you roll with the guy who has it. They have every reason in the world to roll with Z any chance they get as well, right? So – that's just going to be part of how it goes, but you'll see plenty of GG going forward too.
For sure.
Roddy was sort of meh tonight. I think they had Roddy out there because he's Vince McMahon. Come on, Austin. They had Roddy out there for defense and size, just because Roddy's stout and you got guys like Paolo that are just like big, bulky, strong dudes. And so they went out there to match that strength for strength, I think.
Well, listen, everybody loves Xavier Tillman. He played 13 minutes. Like, some games are just going to go like this. Like, I know it sucks. 11 minutes sucks for GG. I promise you, they're going to be fine. There are going to be games like this that are just weird outliers. Eventually, once this all settles in, it'll be a 15 to 18 minute continuous average for GG. Some nights he will go off for 25 minutes. Some nights he will have, 12. For the most part, you're talking about 15 to 18 on an average basis. You're talking about, you're talking about eight each half. That's what you're looking for, 80s half. It was weird to me that he played 4 minutes and then came out after the first quarter. I thought he would go back in, but I think they were trying to do is let him in the half or in the quarters, whatever. And so whatever reason, I don't know, but it was Zaire's night in the end of the day.
And then Santi actually had better numbers than I thought. I don't know. I guess every time he goes to try and cherry pick, and then an offensive rebound happens for the other team, it drives me insane. Maybe I just misunderstood. Am I being too hard on Santi tonight? Were his minutes a lot better than I thought they were?
I think they were fine. The only thing I didn't like about Santi is a lot of his stupid three-pointers early in the shot clock. He's catch and shooting, which is fine. Catch and shoot if you're under five. Yeah, it's 2 and 5, but some of the ones he took were stupid shots. That's the issue with me. Yeah, that's the issue with me. Santi was fine, but it was just a couple of those that he took were just stupid. I'm like, man, you could have easily taken a better shot, but he didn't. So it is what it is.
And then you look at X's minutes, and again, we were talking about him playing when Jaren's off of the floor, and Jaren played 35 minutes tonight. X played 13 minutes tonight. How many minutes are in an NBA game? Quick math, Daniel. 48. Good math. And so that's what's happening there. The Scottie Pippen thing, I'm sure there's just some obscure rule. He's not hurt. It said he was out on two-way assignment tonight. I'm sure there's an obscure NBA rule as to why he wasn't dressed out tonight, because they definitely could have used him. But other than that, I had no issues really with the rotation. I really didn't. There were some funky things out there, but that's kind of the nature of the Grizzlies roster at this point. Zaire played really well. And honestly, outside of just general rotation stuff, as a whole, this game, it was pretty nip-tuck. Like, it was never a blowout one way or the other, right? I think the biggest lead was maybe 12 at one point, maybe, for the Grizz. It may even been just 11. But
11.
Game was back and forth the entire way. And really, at the end, was like, they didn't quite close how they needed to. But that would have been a Magic stealing a game, right? Yeah. Again, against this underhanded Grizzlies team with, like, one of their big three available. So they just continue to play well, play as a team. Vince is awesome. Luke continues to do a little bit more stuff, even though tonight was not as much creation. I don't know. It's fun, man. It's fun to tune in and watch the Grizzlies every night.
It is.
Which
is
not what I expected this to be at this point.
So I know your answer to this, but there was a poll that was sent out. I believe it was by Gabe Kuhn of Bluff City Media, but also of 92.9 ESPN. They do On the Bluff. But he put out a poll that was, is it more like right now, is it more exciting to be is it more fun? I won't say exciting, more fun. I think those are different words. More fun to be a Memphis Grizzlies fan or a Memphis Tigers fan? What do you think
what is more enjoyable to watch?
What is more enjoyable to watch? That's it. Dude. And then the fact is that the Tigers are good and their fans are still miserable. And they said it was a Grizzlies win on the poll. That's what's crazy about this. And you know what? I will say that the Grizzlies are enjoyable right now, even though they are bad at times. But the fact is that it was still voted to be the Grizzlies. It's still funny to me. Like, they're,
I love it. It is more fun. It's still more fun to tune in and watch. I'm watching both this year, right? So I can say quite honestly, it is the Grizzlies. Which, yeah, to be clear, if this roster was playing the way that in October we would expect this roster to play,
yeah,
that would not be the case. But then you got guys like Twisted Vincent. I like that one.
That's like a good one. Who's that? The Black Ninja DJ? You know how I am with my nicknames. The Black Ninja DJ.
Listen,
big fan.
DJs in Memphis, watch out. I saw that Fox News report earlier today. So, oof.
He had some issues.
Crazy. That's pretty crazy. But Vince is playing well. Gigi's getting minutes and playing well. Jaren is taking over and leading the team. You get Scottie Pippen Jr. looking like Tyus Jones last game. It's like you got all kinds of awesome stuff happening. So, as is, the way it played out, it's more fun to watch the Grizz.
All right, let's go through this team real quick. And one thing I want to get back to is one question I just started. There's a couple of these we will get back to. A lot of times, if for some reason it isn't into the flow of the conversation, like one from No Bluffing, one from King Meeks, I have these kind of teed up for maybe another segment. And so if you are asking a question and if we aren't getting to it right away, it's the reason is because a lot of times I'm going to go back to it if it's a good question. But something like this is 60% win rate. Remember what Zane was talking about last time? That 60% win rate. They had to go 3-2. They had to get this win. Now they are. God, dog. They're on track. I don't know how. Let's go ahead and get into a little bit of the game. Let's talk about the Magic real quick. I don't want to go too far into this. But Paolo, 27-5-6, a great game out of him. Franz Wagner, 4-8 from deep, 18-5-4. Wendell Carter, 29-2, and then two bangers. Markel Fultz looked very good early and then completely fell off. But he had 10 points, 3-3. Suggs got hurt early on, but Jonathan Isaac, 10-5. I know you were asking about him, I believe. Mo Wagner, 12-3. And the rest of the scrubs, not much there, Adam. Overall, Santi Aldama, 14-7-5. Like, that's a good stat line. I know that you said you were kind of unimpressed, but 14-7-5 is big. Jitty, another 7-1-2. Did he have any? He had 3 steals and 2 blocks. Bro, That is crazy to me how well he's playing, like just being so handsy at the moment. Luke Kennard, 15, 5, and 6. Vince Williams, 11, 5, and 4. And Zaire, 17, and 4, and 4 rebounds, 5 assists. What has surprised me as well, 3 points, 3 assists, but 10 rebounds out of David Roddy, your guy. Yeah. But the Grizz number one player of the game is definitely Jaren Jackson Jr., 38 and 2. He also had two stocks.
Goon squad.
He is the goon squad.
Listen, he continues to be awesome. We said even last game, I mean, he definitely struggled against Bam. Bam had his number for a bit, but he still found a way to make an impact in the fourth quarter and still make an impact on that game. And with all the bigs that he's not struggled against lately, it's just been super, super impressive stretch for Jaren. Comes in tonight, only shoots 4 free throws despite taking 25 shots in the paint tonight. 25 shots in the paint tonight and only got 4 free throws. So take from that what you will. Paolo shot 11. No big deal. Only shot 11 shots inside the arc, but whatever. Continues to dominate. I mean, he dominates these matchups, and he's doing it in a lot of different ways. Like, he is taking guys off the dribble. He is getting to a spin move. He's also bully-balling guys. Like, that's him being able to do the finesse post move and then come right to a bully ball move is something we've never seen from Jaren before. And he's doing it night in and night out, right? The only time he struggled with that was against Bam. So this growth is awesome, right? And it's going to give this team a whole nother dimension they can get to. The struggle is going to be when you get your guys back, how do you balance out making sure he gets to it and when you get to it? So, but don't want to have to take away from the fact that he has another 30-point game, 8 rebounds, continues to be a defensive menace. Awesome stuff from Jaren.
Yeah. Jaren has completely kind of reinvented himself in a sense, but also kind of just turned it up. And I know those are probably the worst adjectives to use, but it just looks like he's growing within himself. He's like he's growing into his body. I was thinking tonight when I saw him, it looks like he's playing within himself, within his body. And so I have to give a shout out because obviously I've hated a little bit on Jaren over the years. But I have to say that what he's doing right now, the maturity he's showing and what he's bringing to each and every game is big for me. So I have to give him the Grizz number one player of the game, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 stocks. Jaren Jackson Jr. Very proud of that guy, playing very well. He's being an animal right now. I want to get to a couple of things I want to, hit before we get into our first break. Let me go back to these. Sorry, I'm missing them.
It's all good. I got something for you tonight, too. Listen.
Oh, my God.
The back's out. It's got my mind in a whole different world. Maybe I'm a calmer guy tonight because if I jump, I might never get back up. But I got one thing for you. You let me know when you want to go into the Nate segment. I'll follow your lead.
Can we hold the Nate segment till segment 2 after Grizz Trivia?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Sweet. What's it about? Can we just go that way? Can I know what's going on?
No.
Okay, great. This is the first thing this is the first thing I thought of, Big Die. Muscle relaxers?
I would really enjoy some. If anybody has some in the Salt Lake area, I'm buying. I could use it.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our first the first break. I want to go ahead and get to that because I do want to hit on Grizz Trivia and then go through into a little bit of what Nate was talking about. But also, I want y'all to kind of bring up some guys after Grizz Trivia, if you don't mind. If you have one player, two people that you're thinking of, do me a favor and bring those guys up because I want to hit on about five to eight players around the league that you might be thinking of. I know we went through the Atlanta Hawks last game. We saw Bogdan have a good game tonight. We talked about the Blazers, the Pistons, the Pelicans. Those teams, I can't look at a more than one, maybe two at the max players that I think that would even just be brought up in the trade deadline that makes sense to the Grizzlies. So bring up, if you have any players, bring those up in the second segment. Before we get out of here, Streetcars of Memphis is the sponsor of the comment section. Our favorite section, go ahead and give them a call if you can, but mainly just go check them out. Anything that you can do for Streetcars of Memphis, I would appreciate it. Just Google them, look them up, or rewind and hear their phone numbers. I'm not going to remind myself real quick what it is. But go ahead and give them a call. Let them know Grizz 91 team sent you. You can get a $55 oil change or a $65 oil change. Synthetic, baby. All right, hit that like button while we're in the break. We'll be right back here in about 1 minute. Stay tuned.
I'm just big on being able to vocalize what someone's role is. I always thought my best coaches were the people that let me know exactly what you expect from me. Now, I might not like it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. But if you come to me man to man to say, this is how we think we're going to play you, bang, bang, bang. And hopefully everybody understands. I'm not saying that this has not been done with this team. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying from my experience, we all have egos when we get to this game.
Right.
All of us. To the last person on the bench, you got an ego. But all of us can't be the man.
Yeah.
And now you got to be able to say, okay, he's the man, but what do I do and what can I do to help us be good? And if it's vocalized to you, then you know exactly if I'm out there doing it and now I'm not getting a result from you, now we got to sit down and have another conversation. Mm-hmm. But as long as it is told to you, this is what we expect from you, this is how we want you to play, then I feel like, again, keeping this logo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Tune in to the Anthony Sane Show Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
All right, we are back here. And man, listen, the chat never disappoints. I know that's probably what you're laughing at as well. But the chat never disappoints. But do us a favor. Hit that like button. I just saw there was like 11 or 12 maybe likes. Last time we got up to 50. We have to give away money every night. But I do would appreciate it if you go ahead and hit up the likes. But also, if you could share, tell your friends, let them know the one-stop shop is the post-game show for Grizz 901 after each and every game. I have to bring this up before we get into Grizz trivia. Goon the Shooter. If they would somehow have Jaren just give you a shout out after a game, that would make my night. And that's what D'Angelo is talking about. Just in a walk-off interview, shout out to my homie, Goon.
Okay, Goon, we have to do a virtual handshake that if that happens, you turn full heel on yourself and become the biggest Jaren supporter known to man. All caps, everything stays the same, but supporting Jaren. We're going to do a virtual handshake. There we go. Yep.
Gotta do it. All right, let's go ahead and get into Grizz Trivia.
You nerd. Such a dork. It does sound like Mission Impossible, which I watched tonight while I was laying on the couch on ice trying to make my back better.
All right, let's get into some Grizz trivia tonight. Nate, that's Grizzlies have been a very good team. A very good team. Year after year, they seem to have a winning record, but there were many years when this team was not a winner. There have been 23 seasons that the Grizzlies have been in Memphis. This season obviously does not count. So we're looking at a total of 22 years of completed seasons. How many of those have the Grizzlies had a winning record?
What year was that?
So 01 is the first year.
Wait, what was, I'm going to say, they've been here 23 seasons?
They've been here for 23 seasons, so obviously this is the 23rd, and so 22 is, this is the total, right? We're looking for 22.
I'm so going to say,
out of the 22, how many were winning seasons?
13? What's a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man? I need to get the hair slick back. This little number right here. I am so good at Grizz Trivia. I am the Grizz Trivia God. I am so good at Grizz Trivia. I am Grizz Trivia God. Go Mounties. Go Mounties. Is it 13?
All right, let's get into the next segment. We're looking at On the Radar.
No, Venom Suit Spider-Man dance. Come on, dance with me, DG.
I don't know.
Daniel hates it so much. How has this turned where this is like fun for me? How has that happened? I thought that was vodka. I thought you were taking vodka to the head because I of wish. That. It is 13, right?
It was 13. And this
there
is,
we go.
It actually really makes me mad.
Shout out to Austin. Me and Austin both got it. Let's go. Dude, we are so up. My percentage on that's like got to be close to 80% right now. I'm not going to apologize. This is awesome.
13-9, the Grizzlies.
Let's go.
Have had 13 winning seasons. I believe at some point they had 8 or 9 in a row. I'm not looking at my numbers right here, but during that core four era, they had, you know, a lot. Even one of them, they were 40-42 was one of them. So that was close. The other ones were not. It was like 20 wins. So it was like a bunch of 20 wins, and there was 140, a 30, and then that, and that was it of the nine.
I deserve a raise. I need a raise.
I next hate time I how come home, next the time people I'm back in Memphis, enjoy you more about Grizz trivia.
It's because I've had too many concussions for you to shame me. Every time you try and shame me, I'm the one that has the most fun. Listen, I know, like, if you got kids, protect your kids for sure. Helmets, great. As soon as you get above 18, man, like, your brain's kind of – just go get a couple concussions. It makes you better at a lot of stuff, including apparently Grizz trivia. Here, next time I come back to Memphis, you buy my Central Barbecue. There we go. That's what I get.
No, you're pissing me off. I'm not going to buy you something for pissing me off. That doesn't make sense. All right, let's get you on the radar. We're going to look at some players that we're interested in and some players that we might not be interested in. We're also looking at some of the Grizzlies. And so I have some guys that I already have in mind. But if for some reason you have somebody, just put them in the chat, just their name. I would love to actually go ahead and look through it live as we're talking through this. But the first one I'm going to ask about is Bogdan Bogdanovic with the Detroit Pistons. There's nobody else that I saw on the team that I just loved. I know James Wiseman's there. They've already traded off Marvin Bagley. There's no reason that they're going to make that move. And so thoughts on Bogdan?
The more the Grizzlies win, the less I care about a trade. But, I mean, honestly, we talked about this a little bit on the last show. I kind of land in this spot where it's like he does a little bit more like creation for you and stuff than Luke, which I think you can like without a huge three-point shooting drop-off. But the truth is you don't want the ball in his hands much when this team's healthy, right? Like, it's not a guy that you want to be doing a ton of creation, so it doesn't matter that much. So, you know, I sort of talked myself into Bogdan. I think I might be the first one that brought it up in our group, actually. I was probably the first one that brought it up, but I'm now talking myself out of it because it's like you don't really need it, and I'd rather have the shooting than I would that. Now, at the same time, we talked about this last time. If they're trying to figure out what to do with the Luke contract situation, that changes some things because a guy like Bogdan's under team control for a little bit longer. But, it's all dependent on that Luke contract. If you think they think they're going to re-sign him, or you can put Luke in a bigger deal for something that matters a little bit more to you, then I'd say you don't make that kind of move.
Hey, real quick.
Ironic, because.
Yeah, real quick. I know we're talking about the same guy, but Bojan is the guy at Detroit.
Yes.
Bojangles. Yes. Bogdan is the one out of the Hawks. You said Bogdan. Mm-hmm. I think I might have said Bogdan. It's Bojan is what I'm thinking. Is what we're talking about from Detroit.
Oh, my bad. You said Detroit and you said Bogdan. I was like, oh, did we not talk about him enough last night? No.
Bojan Bogdanovic, Bojangles, the true Bojangles, the son that Taylor Jenkins never had. And he is 34 years old, 20 million this year, and then 19 with a guaranteed of 2 million overall in that contract. And so really you could write that off. That's important. It's kind of like a team option in a sense. So, but Bojan Bogdanovic out of Detroit, I think we're in the same part here for sure about him. You don't like him?
I love him. I love him. I just think it's a lot of money for a guy who, again, doesn't upgrade you in a significant way at this point in his career. Right. Like, it's, It's a guy who I've wanted on the Grizzlies. It's well documented. I wanted to be a Grizzly for years now. But we've gotten to a point where, yeah, LOL, nope, has it exactly right. He's just too old for this timeline. And you could argue, hey, the timeline is win now. So bring in guys who help you win now. I just don't think he does a massive upgrade for you at this point. I don't know what he does that you don't have someone else that does, that currently does that on the roster, right? If you're talking about shooting, you got Luke. If you're talking about defense, you got a lot of guys who will defend better than him. Yeah. Rebounding, I think they've got a bunch of guys who now are learning how to team rebound stuff. Jaren's learning how to rebound. Theoretically, you got guys like Brandon Clark and Steven Adams coming back. So, as much as it pains me, I don't want the Bojangles trade anymore. Mm-hmm. I'd still find a way to be happy about it, but I think we're past the time for that era.
Anything changed?
We're out of our Bojangles era.
Anything changed on Zaire?
His trade value, possibly. Listen, I mean, and truly, like, I'm not one to come on here and rag on a dude after he did just have a really good game, but we've seen it. We've seen it again and again and again. And we want to avoid the mental health police that came after Sam. And so we're not going to attack him after a good game. But I don't believe it's going to be what he is. I believe tonight's the exception, not the rule. And so, I agree.
Speaking about that,
Lynch, then that changes.
Yeah. Speaking about the same thing about the mental health police, our very own Rob Fisher was on with Sane today, and they actually went through it and were talking about it in a way of, hey, it's fair to criticize the guys and how they play. As long as you're not going personal. I don't think Zane or any of us ever go personal. I know we wouldn't allow each other to do that. And most of the time, I don't think we've ever seen the chat really get to that point. So we'll see. All right. One other guy I want to ask about before we kind of I'm going to hand it back over to you is John Conchar. And so obviously he's been playing great. I've always been a big fan of what he can do. He's hurt himself in so many ways by just not being consistent and not being able to hit the three on a regular basis where he can just kind of be somewhat of a threat to open up. But thoughts on Jitty? Do you think he's somebody that you could kind of keep here and be okay with it? Or do you think, hey, we really do need to move off of him? For one, you know, the money goes, but also this might be the most he could bring back to the team.
I mean, you don't need to move on from anybody.
Yeah.
You don't need to move on from anybody. Like, Jitty will work on literally any team in the NBA because he's not a guy that's going to demand a bunch of minutes. He's a guy who knows what he is, which is a 10th through 12th guy off the bench on a good team, gets rebounds, defends, does all the little stuff. And that works with the Grizzlies. Now, the other part of that is he also works with the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Lakers. Yep. He works with literally any team. Probably not the Lakers because I don't think he's a clutch guy. So I don't think he can, by contract, go to the Lakers. Yeah. But he works with every single team. So he could be a valuable part of the package, right? I mean, there's been all kinds of reports that teams have interest in him, and that's for a reason. Because he can fit. He can fill in around your stars. And so if it facilitates a package to upgrade your team, you come off of them.
All right. Let's go through this real quick. 2 seconds for Jitty. Would you trade? No. Yes or no?
No. Who cares about those picks?
If you can get a first.
Probably.
I'm just asking.
On the first. If it's like the Nuggets first next year, then I don't really care about your 29th.
Well, that's what you would get is a lower in the 20s. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
even then,
maybe. I mean, a first round pick for John Conchar is getting up there, but still, you probably find a way to get a useful player plus a second in that scenario, right? Generally speaking, though, we're past caring about picks. I guess you could theoretically go for like, hey, your late 2020s type picks, trying to stockpile later on down the road, but. Other than that, I don't. He can contribute for you. He can always contribute for you. It's why teams want him.
And I know people want to say, well, you got to get off that money. But realistically, okay, so from what everybody understands, he's already under contract.
Jaravia.
The only thing that ever happens is they go into the luxury tax. Not my money, not your money. That really is the only thing that matters. It might not allow you to grab, you know, a guy because of your short $2 to $3 million. I think they would make that make sense, right? They would figure out a way to let go of somebody if they needed to open up $3 million or whatever it might be. So I don't think that's the issue. I do like him for this team. I do. I have always said he's a luxury item. He's a guy that you love to have, but you don't want to have to ever use. And when you do use him, he's there. Like, he's a regular season guy that keeps you winning and keeps the momentum going. And he's a guy who can't play for, you know, weeks at a time. Comes in and gives you big key minutes over a stretch of 2 weeks and then goes back to the bench. And he knows he's okay with that. And so that's the biggest thing. So let's go ahead and get into you real quick. Smooth Southpaw. Haven't seen you in a little while. 48 in the chat. 13 likes. We've had so many people come through here. I see the numbers. I know how many people have come through the chat. Only 13 likes. Shame. All right, let's get to you. What you got?
All right, it kind of ties into what you were talking about. When it comes to roster needs for the Grizzlies, what do you think is their biggest roster need? I'm very curious as to what you think it is at this point.
Yeah, so what I look at is, I've always said this, as I look at top eight, and that's the biggest thing for me, is I want to somehow upgrade the top eight because I believe with this organization, with this team, what they have, I think you can find a 9, 10, 11, 12 and be confident in that. Things I would do is I would find a way to get off of Xavier Tillman and get something back. I don't know what that is. Let me tell you a little bit of my thoughts on what they could actually do. Is you have that expiring contract because of the exception. I'm sorry. You have the exception that you can bring back an expiring contract this year. I know that that's not a lot, but some team probably does want a guy like Xavier Tillman, maybe even John Conchar. You have a chance to add in maybe a first round. I'd say that's the high end. 2 seconds, potentially. And then you have that trade exception where you don't actually have to give up anyone. And you don't have to bring anyone back. Like, that's really what that is something that can do. They could send you somebody that's on an expiring contract for whatever the amount that you can send out. You don't actually have to send anybody out but those guys that they're wanting to get. So you don't have to put in a throw in to make money meet. None of that. As long as that one person that's coming back is on an expiring contract, you're going to see things like that. I think that's something you're going to see. But looking at this team, I don't know if Luke is long for this team. I could go either way. But if it's me, I'm trying to figure out a way to work around Ja, Jaren, and Bain. And then after that, I'm looking at Vince and how he fits. And then the next thing I'm doing is looking at GG and how he's going to help out. Because I think GG will be your 9-10 guy if you actually look at it that way. And so that's my thoughts, is I think you have a team that's coming back that's going to be fully healthy next season. Can you somehow make a swing and just go all in and try to see if you can grab one player? All you need is one player to make a difference. I don't care about these other dudes that are making $10 million or less. I'm talking about a $20 million guy.
What kind of player?
It has to be a guy with some length and some range. It's obviously 3-and-D, length and range. I don't even care if he's that great at defense, but he's got to be able to have some length and some range. Length, obviously, to help defend. Range is to space the floor. That's all I'm looking for. And a guy like that obviously is the ideal fit is like Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, right?
obviously, yeah.
I think that, and that's still, and this is why I'm asking, because I'm really not sure. Is the emergence of Vince Williams reaching a point where it's starting to negate the need to go get a bunch of length and shooting? Like, is he genuinely getting to a point where he's good enough that it's like, we may not need to go trade into this because we kind of fell into it?
Let me just say this. King Minx, this might be spot on. The front office for the Grizzlies, dude, having to do that job, like a mayor race here in Memphis, like, you know, nobody wins. It's tough to do. It's you got to pull a rabbit out of the hat to make sense and make everything work. I think it's simple, and this is me. And I know people have talked about what you do. I'm going to lay everything out of what I think in my mind. There's one thing you have to do is you have to create a roster space for GG. I think before potential playoffs or before the offseason. The reason is because the offer sheet he could get could be like $10 to $15 million a year, because some team says, hey, I want to be stupid and get him. We're okay with overpaying, and we'll de-escalate that contract over the next, you know, 4 years. You are then screwing yourself. If you go ahead and do it now, when he's still going up, you can get him on a contract similar to what you just paid a Vince Williams, which is a good contract, a guy that's going to be a role player. So that's the only thing you have to do. That's it. And if that is sending out Xavier Tillman, or sending out a John Conchar, or just cutting Jake LaRavia, or sending Jake LaRavia for, you know, a two pick or a one second round pick, pick swap or something like that, just to get him off of your roster, that's what you can do. After that, that's it. And if you're wondering, how many people do we have on the roster? 15. How many people are we going to draft? Potentially 2. Okay, well, you're over your roster limit. Who cares? You can go into training camp with that many. All you have to do is make a decision before the start of the season. And so that's what I'm looking at, is I think that is the least amount to do. Anything other than that is a bonus, in my opinion.
Well, and that's why, because I think about it when you talk about something like a Mikal Bridges. Like, obviously, if you can go get Mikal Bridges, you go get Mikal Bridges, obviously. Right? Like, clearly. But then it's like you look at this other stuff, and actually, shout out to No Bluffin, brought up exactly what I was about to bring up. Well, comments keep coming in, which I appreciate, but it makes it hard to pull one up.
it does.
When I think about, hey, wings that you can realistically bring in that aren't like top tier type wings, DFS. Would you rather have DFS or Vince?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, Vince. Day in, day out. He makes DFS look bad. I take Vince over Cam Johnson.
Outside of like some top tier guys like Mikal, Cam Johnson's probably as good as you're going to get if you trade for some wing length, right? Like, I don't know, Jeremy Grant, who you clearly hate, is a guy that he's like a little somewhere in between those guys. It's like I don't think that wing upgrade is as important at this point as it is if you're going to consolidate. Go get a true backup big. Go get a guy that's a sizable big. I would rather them go get a big than I would a wing at this point.
Mm. All right, so I know we're just going through this mind, you know, exercise. The only position I'm looking to upgrade. Okay, the only two positions I'm looking to upgrade. It's Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard. That's the only two I'm looking at.
I knew you were going to say it.
That's the only two, because Vince gives you what you need around Ja. You need defense and you need space. All right.
What's the Luke upgrade?
That I don't know.
What is it? That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's theoretically, I get what you're saying. You want to get an upgrade for a guy that probably can defend a little bit, maybe not shoot quite as much. But like, who is that? Who like in that in that case, go get Bojangles, right?
No,
like,
no,
he's like that's what, but that's what I'm saying. Like, who's the guy that does that?
Yeah,
I'm just not convinced they have to do any major augmenting of this roster. And if I was gonna say there's anything, it's like, who's another 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot guy that's a backup big?
Yeah,
what can you do, right? Like,
I agree.
That's if I'm going to consolidate and make minor moves, that's the minor move, right? Or Sherman brings up a good point. Guys like Bruce Brown that are just winning type basketball players, right? But as far as like augments around your major top eight, I'm just not as convinced that that move is there that needs to be made. I'm just not. I think they've kind of found something, right? And so I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. The reason I brought that up is not because I feel passionately about it one way or the other. It's just a genuine conversation that I didn't think we'd be having this year.
Well, let me one guy I don't want Jericho Sims. He's not that good. He doesn't give you anything that Brandon Clark can't give you, Steve-O, any of those guys. Steve-O with one leg, he can get his leg amputated. He'd still be better than Jericho Sims. Let's go with the Marcus Smart conversation real quick, and then and I'm going to get to a couple comments. We're going to get to our last thing. We got to preview the next two games. I know I've talked about starting Vince over a Marcus Smart. Let me explain to you why it doesn't matter. And I've always said this, is I don't care who you start. I don't. It doesn't matter to me. It's all about who you close with. Vince can close. Marcus Smart can close. If you start Marcus Smart with the starters as it was supposed to be this season, after four-ish, maybe 5 minutes, Marcus Smart's out. Vince is in, right? Running with the ones. And at that point, you then have the end. You have the end of the, I guess, the first quarter. And then you have Ja out, Marcus Smart in. You still have some crossover. Now you have Smart with Vince. I think that's a good time. And yep. Then you also bring in a Luke Kennard to space the floor. I think that's kind of what you – that's what you do, and that's great. At the end of the game, if you figure out a way to get back to whether they're big or small, depending on what it is, Jaren, big, right? He's your five. Then you go with Vince, Bane, Smart, Ja. That's incredible to close.
That's what I was about to say, man. That's the other big thing that's coming out of this. Jaren's played a ton of five over this stretch and played really well at the five. Like, all of a sudden, you're telling me you're going to throw out a lineup of Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Vince Williams, and Jaren Jackson, and it's not going to go well?
Yeah.
Dog. Come on, man. It's like your back three. Honestly, Dez is a underrated defender, in my opinion. But really, he's like Smart, Vince, Jaren. Just a freaking torture chamber of dudes. And then you got Ja and Bane, who can score with the best of anybody pretty much in the league. Plus, two of those guys are like showing a true offensive game. Jaren's showing like a real offensive game. Like, it's a death lineup, man.
Yeah.
It's a death lineup. So, again, that's where it's like, this roster's like awesome. They just aren't all playing basketball this year. Right. They all got the Nates sitting on ice with the back wrap.
Yeah. And as Ed's saying, I always thought Daniel didn't like Kennard. Listen, Nate, where did Luke Kennard go to school at?
Tennessee.
He went to the Duke University. I love Luke Kennard. His shot. My issue is I don't know if he is the best for this team. Now, if we can figure out a way to cycle through and have more of a facilitator and what you can put around him. That's the thing is like Luke is a guy that if you don't need to ask him to be a facilitator, if you don't need to ask him to do anything else besides be a guy who runs off screens, catch and shoot, and somehow stay away from being hunted on defense, it's a great thing to have. He's amazing in the playoffs as well. Because if he gets hot, it's curtains, man. It's curtains. So I love Luke. I just don't know if he is the fit you need. The problem is, like we just talked about, how do you upgrade from that position? Those are him and Smart are the two positions I'm looking to upgrade. The problem is, who do you upgrade? It's not easy.
Garrison Matthews.
So I do like him. I just wanted to. Absolutely. So as Sane is saying, it will be very hard for me to see the extended minutes next season for Kennard. It really will, because you're talking about Vince is only going to get better. Gigi is only going to get better. And they have the size that you want. They're also knocking down threes. And so if Luke gives you one extra three, maybe two extra threes and bunches, does it make up for what these other guys can do all around?
I will say the only other part of that is it's not just him making the threes. It's the fact that someone has to be within 2 feet of him at all times.
Yeah.
And that helps everybody else score, right? And so the shooting is just something I think every team can use. And so, David's saying, he's got gravity. People say that, to be honest, but it's like there's no other way to say it. Like, he really does have gravity. Right? And so it's kind of like, every team wants that kind of shooter for a reason. So it does help, gravity. Even if it's not extended minutes, do not.
Gravity.
Yet another Taylor Swift X. Go Ravens.
But when he's on, damn it, boy. Dude. He is money.
Makes Daniel feel some type of way.
It does. It makes me feel really
pretty good. Nate segment. You thought I was going to derail us. I was pretty good.
So as Playboy Danny says, draft a big. That's right.
Yes.
That's what I would do. If you're in the top area, I would draft a big. Listen, I have a lot that I actually want to get into. There's a lot of stuff here. Let's take 2 minutes and go through these questions before we get to the preview. Okay. Real quick, from King Mix very early in the show. Do you think the Hawks are mad for not taking Luka tonight?
Dude, I almost tweeted out about that, dude. Yeah. The Hawks announcers were taking a dangerous amount of copium during the fourth quarter of that game. They were struck. By the way, if anybody wants to just feel a little bit more grateful for Pete and Brevin, buy yourself League Pass. It's half price for the rest of the season. And listen to specifically Portland, Atlanta, Golden State, Sacramento.
Just
listen to those. Yeah. You'll appreciate those guys even more. I'm telling
just
you.
Just go to DraftKings. You place like a somewhat bet. They give you it for a year. It's actually active right now. I don't know why, but it is. No Bluffing Podcast. Are we about to sneak into the play-in? Should we? Should we not? Your thoughts? Like I said, 2 minutes or less. Let's hurry up and wrap these up.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Why not? Don't lose on purpose.
It only makes you better. It allows these guys to win big games, for sure. All right, real quick, what do you think the Grizz do with the disabled players exception? I talked a little bit about it earlier. I don't know. You don't have to do Dylan's exception. You do have the other exception from, I think it was maybe Steve-O or BC. I think that has a longer leash. The quickest one coming up, I believe, is Jaws, and it has to be on an expiring contract. If anything, I think they throw it into a trade just to bring back, you know, more money this season for an expiring deal. I think that's the one that you only want you to do.
I don't know those rules good.
Yeah, I don't either. I even called and asked Sean about it, and he was like, dude, just say I don't know all the rules, but I bet they're creative. And I'm like, all right, cool. Kip Gordon wants to know, hope you guys cover the showboats during their season. I would love to, but I also love breaks.
So
we'll see.
I got a little tiny reason coming to why I probably have to take the off season off. So
yeah, for sure.
That came off weird.
Yeah. About it. All right. Are you interested in Pippen? Do you like Pippen Jr.?
Shoot. Yeah. After last game, I'm definitely interested. Yeah. Let's see what he's got. I mean, I'm far from all in. Like I don't see there's no reason to be all in, but, yeah, you can't help but be interested. The dude, and here's why, he looked super mature and in control in a crunch time game. That's worth looking at.
For sure. All right, I like it. Oh, thank for everybody for hanging out. Make sure you go get that Asylum Tees shirt from the new Zippin' Pippin' shirt from Asylum Tees from Sane. We'll be right back. We're going to take maybe a 42-second break real quick. We'll come back for the third segment.
Has FAU somersaulted over a lot of other teams as like your most aggravating fan base?
Oh, easily. They just think they are so elite because they made this one run. You won this one fluky ass game where there were six or seven different calls. Everyone were up in arms about like, what are we talking about? And it's not like a thing where they're like, hey, Memphis, great game. You guys are great competitors. I can't wait to see what the future holds between us. Because if they said that, I would respect them. I don't respect FAU fans. I don't.
Tune in to Tigers Untapped with TJ Willis and Trey Lasley every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
I don't respect their ass either.
If y'all could have saw Nate during that, that was great. I had to bring
Tigers
it up.
Fans always shoot. Tigers fans real mad right now. They actually lost for once. Should have enjoyed the wins.
All right, let's get to the Pacers game. The Grizzlies now are coming off of a big win. And so as Sane has now entered into the chat, he's also talking about the Grizzlies are winning at 60% ever since I think the big injuries happened. And so he's been doing this every five games, as long as they go 3-2 over those five games. That they can get to a 60% win percentage. And it's honestly, it's as we were just talking about from the No Bluffing podcast, that question, it's becoming a real thing, because with every day and every game that goes by, we're only getting closer to a Desmond Bain, Marcus Smart potentially return. We just got back Luke Kennard and Santi tonight, who both played decent. Man, you're talking about that 60%, man.
Here's the problem. Are they going to mess up the chemistry? Do we need to bring those guys in off the bench? Like,
shut up.
Oh, man. But here's the thing. Honestly, it's truly, they're 4.5 back from Utah and LA, who are both at 500 right now. Let me tell you, one of them teams is not going to finish at 500. And if you get up to 500, which is where that 60% gets you,
yep,
you're gonna play in somehow, some way. I cannot believe this is a conversation. I thought this would be so far out the window by now.
I can't either. And real quick, before we get into this full Pacers preview, is a stat that I just received from Sean Coleman. So shout out to Sean. The net rebound differential by month. In October, they were a minus 11, right? November, total of minus 38. Well, December, they were not playing well, right? Minus 95. January, minus 6. They're playing, they're rebounding better, and that's what's the biggest thing. Getting to the Pacers real quick, Tyrese Haliburton is out of this game, and so it will be more of an up and down game. Playboy Danny says that he thinks it's going to be a tough match, defensive game. And as D'Angelo is asking the same question, defense? The Pacers play defense?
Yeah, that's not their not their.
I don't
thing.
Know if they play defense.
113, 130. 118, 131.
Yeah, I don't think there's defense. Now, what we'll see is
Wizards might miss shots, but
Pascal Siakam just had a big game. He just had a triple double, and so I'm curious to see completely. Real quick on this one, this is kind of off topic, but M-Town Memphis made. Sadiq Bey and Quentin Grimes. I don't know if that moves the needle for me.
Yeah, you'd have to come off too much to get him. I don't dislike either one of those players.
No. I just Quentin Grimes is cheap. He's $2 million, $3 million, whatever it is.
If it gets Jake LaRavia and Zaire Williams off the team,
still trade Zaire. The Pacers, though, overall, they have been playing well, but as we know, it's going to be a TJ McConnell led team. And he's going to he's been playing very well. But tonight, did they play tonight? They beat the Suns 133-131. And so if you're looking at it, like, they have been playing pretty good. And so they're gonna the Grizzlies do have to go on a one game road trip up there to Indy. They're at home. They were at home tonight and they beat the Suns, so it's gonna be tough. But if you look at Siakam, 31-7-4. Aaron Nesmith, three balls, 3 of 6, 22 points. Andrew Nembhard, 22 points, only had 2 3-pointers. TJ McConnell only had 18 minutes. But then you have Obi Toppin, 11 rebounds. They've been playing very well. And so I don't want to take much from them, but I think that's going to be a tough game. But overall thoughts on about the game, we don't want to get too in detail.
Devin Booker dropped 62 and lost. How did I miss that? 62 and lost. Man, yeah. Rough. Get Siakam into foul trouble. Get Jaren on his side. It's like, for all the talk about Jaren's foul trouble in the past, people, I might be making this up, but I'm pretty positive I'm not. Siakam can get into foul trouble pretty easy, too. Like, that's something you can do. And without Haliburton, who else on that team scares you, truly? Miles Turner?
No, Miles Turner doesn't scare me.
DJ McConnell?
No. I would say if anybody, Aaron Nesmith just comes to the 3-ball. That would be it.
Yeah, so, but you can overcome that if you're Memphis. You can overcome one guy that gets hot from three. What you can't overcome is a night who gets everyone else going.
All right,
and so if you can neutralize Siakam, you can do okay.
What scares me about this team is they're up and down. And if you saw tonight against the Magic, they're not a up and down team, right? They're more methodical, right? They want to get into the paint. They want to score. They want to knock down a three here and there, and that's great. The Miami Heat, very similar. They do shoot more threes, but they're more methodical. The difference about this team, when you have a team like the Pacers, bro, you run away from them because you can't stop us, and we have a better offense than you. The problem right now is the Grizzlies don't have a great offense, so we have to rely on defense. They're playing great defense. Can we stop them enough? The biggest thing is, can we score enough? Because going into Jaren, beating, you know, and post him up, I like that. The problem is, can we actually put bunches together and allow these guys to play with a little bit more freedom? You're going to have to get to 125 at minimum.
Well, it's one of those games where you just could see, I mean, we'll see what happens. Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx it, but you could see Jaren going for 40-plus. It's a game where Luke could end up getting some open shots. It's a game where Gigi could end up breaking free in that game, right? Like, that's I could see it being a really good Gigi game. I could see it being a good Roddy game, right?
Yeah.
It's just one of those games where if the Grizzlies are missing shots and they can't find any offense, Jaren's off, then it's going to get real rough real quick in all likelihood. But there's no indication from the way this team's been playing that that's going to be what happens. And truth be told, I'd be interested to see the numbers. I don't know what it actually looks like, but it's felt like the Grizzlies have played pretty good transition defense lately. I mean, even tonight, the Magic didn't try and get out a run a lot, but when they did, the Grizzlies tend to get back and make them work for it and earn it and stop them quite a few times in transition, right? And so, I mean, yes, the team gets out and run, the Pacers, that is. At the same time, the Grizzlies have been doing a good job of mucking the game up and slowing teams down in transition. And again, if you get a bunch of buckets, which this Pacers team gives up a bunch of buckets, and we've seen Jaren already dominate this matchup before and play really well in this matchup. Like, if you score a bunch, then it's really hard for that other team to get running. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And Haliburton is just, listen, he's such a huge part of what they do, and they do play good team ball, but so he facilitates so much of that. So him being out is, honestly, it's impressive they keep winning without him.
Yeah. The Pacers 26-20 on the season. They're 15-9 at home, and they're 5-5 in the last 10 games on a two-game winning streak. And so it's going to be big for that game. I know you all will be watching that game. You're all also going to be watching a little bit of the NFL playoffs as well. That's why we're going to do no show on Sunday. It allows us to kind of take a game break without having to have guests on and then overlap ourselves where we're having one guest with me, then one guest with Nate, and then we'll eventually get back. Instead, we're taking a Sunday off. And so I hope you understand that. And so just understand that when you come here for Sunday or after the game, we will not be here. So let's go ahead and get into the next game. And that will be the Kings game on Monday. Thoughts on that? Because I think this game has a lot of the same thing. Besides the fact that you do have Sabonis that can be a dominant guy on rebounding, you have a De'Aaron Fox. You also have a little bit of pace to this team. You also have Harrison Barnes that wants to knock down some shots. It's going to be a tough game against the Kings for sure.
Well, the Kings are also better than the Pacers. Like, they got so many guys that just make shots. They just make shots, man. That's it. Like, if you catch the Kings on a night where they are just off, like no one can hit a shot, whether it's mid-range or perimeter, they get murdered.
Yeah.
The problem is that never happens. Like, if they got two guys that are off, they got five guys that are on. Yeah. Like, they just can shoot the ball and score and just crush you. Like, the biggest thing in that game, honestly, is can somehow you neutralize Sabonis and offensive rebounds? Like, can you keep Sabonis away from making them get a bunch of offensive rebounds? So not just him getting his, but him putting you so much pressure on the offensive glass that other guys end up getting on those boards. So that's the biggest thing. And I mean, they don't really have anybody that can do that. Tillman, I think, is actually a somewhat okay matchup because he's just not afraid to play physical and he's like Mr. Fundamentals. But like, truth be told, like, you don't really have anybody for that. So the difference between the Kings and the Pacers is I think the Grizzlies aren't going to be able to stop all those weapons that the Kings have. And I think there's a chance they can stop all the weapons that the Pacers have and muck that up enough where somebody's going to miss and then you're okay.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing is you have to, as you said it, and Austin said it as well, you have to muck it up. And it's going to be tough because they're going to be able to kick it out to a Harrison Barnes for a knockdown shot, even a Malik Monk as well out there. And so we're going to have those issues for sure. But the Kings overall, 25-18 on the year, 14-18 at home, but they're going to be away and they are 11-10, 5-5 over their last 10 in the two-game winning streak. They have points per game and opponents' points per game the exact same, 118. And so they're pretty much around the same thing. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. That's the biggest thing about the Kings. You really don't know what you're going to get out of them. But I want to ask the question, or ask the question. I want to answer the question. Where did it go?
I got you, dog.
Who is Vince Williams holding? There we go. Sorry, I looked right over you, Playboy Danny. You can't play Gilliard. He's not starting. Jitty, let's see who the Kings starting.
Fox.
He has to.
It's got to be Fox.
Yeah, you're right. It's got to be Fox because you would have Murray. Man, you might better go small in this game. You might better go exactly how you work. So you can go small with, you know, Sabonis and Jaren. And then you go Santi and Murray. And then you go Herder and Jitty, Barnes and whoever else, and then Fox
Listen,
Finish the Menace.
I watched Herder get nice and puckered up against the Warriors last night when the game mattered most. That was rough from old Kevin Herder. So, Jitty on him. Do it to it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even David Vickers is saying that Sabonis is killing Jaren and Tillman. I understand that and I believe that, but not anymore. I think that Jaren's a different player. I'm seeing something different in Jaren. I do.
Might crush him on the boards. I would definitely want to see Tillman trying to box out Sabonis as opposed to Jaren, to say the least. But offensively, yeah, I think Jaren's a much different player. I don't think he owns him on both ends. I don't even know. Who's the fourth guy? It's because you got Fox,
Murray,
Herder. Is it Barnes? Is Barnes their fourth starter?
Yeah, Murray, Barnes, Herder.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, there's no one you can really put Jaren on and have him like free safety. So,
another thing, just so we're all crystal clear, is the Kings play Saturday at the Mavericks, and then they come and play Monday at the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies play Sunday, not Saturday, Sunday on the road with travel back to Memphis for a Monday game. Back-to-back with travel against a team that is very good. I think you're going to see a really good shot against a team like the Pacers. And then if they can win that game, you might see Jaren sit out or maybe some other guys sit out against the Kings. You might even start seeing some Kings sit out that game as well. But that's something to pay attention to as well, is that could be a rest game. If they can somehow get that Pacers game, you could see a rest game for sure on Monday night. So either way, we'll cover both games. We'll have our reactions to that overall. Any other thoughts about tonight? The chat. Guys, y'all been popping all night. The best chat in the business. Like y'all make this so much fun. But anything that you got, Nate?
Nope. Back hurts. I'm tired.
Thoughts on the music?
yay! Listen, Grizz trivia is fun for me now, so I'm good with it.
Shut up! I'm gonna get rid of that music now.
Go Mounties.
All right, guys, thank you all. Make sure you do us a favor and hit that like button. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you could. This has been a fun night. We've been going over a lot lately. I figured we'd get a little bit later tonight because we're not going to be on Sunday. And everybody was kind of hanging out. The fact is that before, like after the first 20 or so minutes, the chat would always be, you know, doing well. Listen, we're here and most are still here chatting it up through the entire show. So shout out to you all guys. Enjoy your Friday night. Enjoy your weekend. go enjoy some football as well. So we'll see you back on Monday night, no doubt. Be nice and tell your friends.